Hello and welcome to Opus on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Gretchen Gondek, your host, and in studio today, one of our most valued listeners and supporters of Siouxland Public Media, Mary Day. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Gretchen. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And I, first of all, want to tell you how much I appreciate the research that you have done in preparation for our program today about the great contralto Marian Anderson, who I don't know if folks realize that she was in Sioux City. She was here on two occasions.
She was here, first of all, in 1943. Shortly after she returned from Europe with the Sioux City Concert Course to do a recital. And then she was here again in 1954 with the Sioux City Symphony. So she was here twice.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Marian Anderson for folks who maybe don't know who she was. Can you take us back and share a bit of the research and history that you found out about her?
Well, she was a contralto. She was born in 1902 in Philadelphia. And she studied with, well, she did not really have a very strong educational background because she was not of a higher class. And so she did not have those opportunities. In fact, she pretty much lacked a formal education. But this lacking of a formal education kind of provides the real nice setting for an American success story. Some of the essential ingredients, I think, are her determination and her perseverance, along with a recognition of her talent and her abilities and acceptance of those coming very slowly, very, very slowly. In 1925 already, when she was 23, she was selected from a field of 300 contestants in a competition for an appearance with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, and she won that. This was before she really had started to even do much professional training. Already, her abilities and her extraordinary vocal talent were already in evidence. And so she did do this performance. And then because she was really very musically astute and very understood very much that she would have to train herself and get trained, she went to Europe for 10 years from 1925 to 1935. And only returned for her debut at Town Hall recital in 1935. Before that, she understood that she wasn't ready to sing for the American public, and the American public wasn't interested in her, except for this one little competition that she had won. European audiences, however, were very interested in her. And before she came back in 1935, the accounts of her success in Europe, particularly in Vienna and Salzburg, had already circulated at home. I mean, she must have had good advice from people. And and already Toscanini, who had heard her sing in Salzburg, had said, made the statement, "Yours is a voice such as one hears once in 100 years." Now, after all this publicity preceded her coming back, she was accepted by the public, by the American public audience. They were ready now to embrace her. And the voice was really a truly great voice. From what I understand, I wasn't around, of course, but from what I've read and the research that I've done, the voice was truly a wonderful voice. It wasn't necessarily a large voice, but it was very universally appealing in its simplicity, in its strong dramatic instincts that she seemed to have, and everything that she sang seemed to be musically intelligent. She brought a lot of drama and a lot of intelligence to her performance. She didn't sing a lot of opera. She sang some opera in Europe, but not a lot. She preferred the Lieder and the oratorio and recital work as opposed to opera work. So while she did some in Europe, she didn't do a lot. But the voice was very compelling, a little different. The Germans and the Scandinavians especially found her charming and vocally moving. I thought that was interesting, huh?
That is.
It is. In an autobiography that I read of her a number of years back, there was a statement that touched me and I've never forgotten. And that is, she said, I found out that when I was about 35, I had to learn to sing. I had just opened my mouth to sing. I was a natural, but I had to learn to sing. So she went to Europe to do that. And that is so true of natural artists. A lot of times they get propelled to the stage, opera and concert stage, long before they even know what they're doing and burn out and don't survive because the work is hard work. And if they don't know how to respond with their bodies and how their bodies are going to help their vocalism, they often burn out. The voice, as I said earlier, was not exceptionally large nor really beautiful in all of its range. The upper notes were pretty strident from what I read, and the lower notes were really very dark. But it was always distinctive, and it was distinctively African American. And the Europeans found this enticing, and they liked it. Now, American artists at this particular time had to go to Europe in order to have a career. They did not establish a career in the United States anymore. They still had to go to Europe. And so this was normal for artists who wanted a career.
George Boykin and I talked about this. I mean, it's a long list. Paul Robeson, Josephine Baker, Marian Anderson, and
Roland Hayes. I mean, there's just a lot of them.
And they felt very comfortable and accepted in Europe and did not feel that way in the United States.
Only did they not feel that way, they were not taken in that way. They were not accepted. It was part of our background. It was not accepted. She learned German, French, and Italian, and sang a lot in all those. And it was but through an American filter, kind of. So it was an interesting combination. If you get an opportunity to listen to her recordings, there you can hear the distinctive Americanism in her voices, but you hear the strident top a little bit, and you hear the really dark. Contralto lower voices. She was not the first African-American singer to achieve international reputation. There were many that preceded her, nor was she the first African-American singer to sing opera, but she was the first to appear at the Met. However, she sang at the Met only 1 year, 2 years, I guess, but she sang only one role, Ulrica in Un Ballo in Maschera of Verdi, who is the fortune teller. And she only got that role, and she was already 52 when that appeared. So she came back to America past her prime in some respects. And although a contralto is going to have a longer performing career than a soubrette soprano or something like that. So by the time she got to the Met, and they were ready to embrace her, but they were, you know, she was so successful in a town hall recital in 1935. And then the Easter Sunday concert at the Lincoln Memorial in 1939, those two forced the Met to have to take her in. They didn't have a choice anymore because the American people demanded it.
Talk a little bit about how the concert at the Lincoln Memorial came about. And then I have a real treat for our listeners, Mary, because we have that recording and we're going to hear that today.
Well, that particular one, she was Eleanor Roosevelt. She had already sung at the White House for Eleanor. And Eleanor Roosevelt wanted to help her have a concert at Daughters of the Revolution.
D-A-R.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they refused. Only white singers could sing there. So this incensed Eleanor, who had her, you know, and so she arranged for a concert on Easter Sunday morning, or Easter Sunday anyway, I'm not sure it was morning, at the Lincoln Memorial, and it was thousands of people that came to that concert. It was a live concert outside the memorial.
Well, we're going to pause here and listen to the concert. I have a CD, Marian Anderson, Let Freedom Ring. This is the first restored release from April 9th, 1939, Easter Sunday, a concert at the Lincoln Memorial. And we will hear that now in its entirety.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're speaking to you from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in the nation's capital, from which point the National Broadcasting Company brings you a song recital by the gifted Marian Anderson, considered by music critics throughout the world as possessing a most outstanding contralto voice. This concert is presented under the auspices of Howard University of Washington, D.C. Miss Anderson will sing from a stage built on the steps of this impressive memorial to America's Civil War president, looking out over the beautiful reflecting pool to the Washington Monument. Marian Anderson is singing this public concert at the Lincoln Memorial because she was unable to get an auditorium to accommodate the tremendous audience that wished to hear her. Thousands are gathered near the memorial to hear this Easter Day recital, which is perhaps the first open-air concert ever held in Washington. Miss Anderson will be introduced by Secretary of the Interior Harold L. Ickes, after which she will sing a group of three songs: America, the aria O Mio Fernando from Donizetti's opera La Favorita, and Schubert's Ave Maria. We hear now the Honorable Harold L. Ickes, Secretary of the Interior.
Miss Anderson, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, in this great auditorium under the sky, all of us are free. When God gave us this wonderful outdoors, and the sun, the moon, and the stars, he made no distinction of race or creed or color. And 130 years ago, he sent to us one of his truly great in order that he might restore freedom to those from whom we had disregardfully taken it. In carrying out this great task, Abraham Lincoln laid down his life. And so it is as appropriate as it is fortunate that today we stand reverently and humbly at the base of this memorial to the great emancipator, where glorious tribute is rendered to his memory by a daughter of the race from which he struck the chains of slavery. Facing us down the mall beyond the Washington Monument, which we have erected as a symbol of the towering stature and fame of him who founded this republic, there is rising a memorial to that other great Democrat in our short history, Thomas Jefferson, who proclaimed that principle of equality of opportunity which Abraham Lincoln believed in so implicitly and took so seriously. In our own time, too many pay mere lip service to these twin planets in our democratic heaven. There are those, even in this great capital of our democratic republic, who are either too timid or too indifferent to lift up the light that Jefferson and Lincoln carried along. Genius, like justice, is blind, for genius, with the tip of her wing, has touched this woman who, if it had not been for the great mind of Jefferson, if it had not been for the great heart of Lincoln, would not be able to stand among us today, a free individual in a free land. Genius draws no color line. She has endowed Marian Anderson with such a voice as lifts any individual above his fellows, as is a matter of exultant pride to any race. And so it is fitting that Marian Anderson should raise her voice in tribute to the noble Lincoln whom mankind will ever honor. We are grateful to Miss Marian Anderson for coming here to sing to us today.
Thank you.
And so we come to the intermission of this concert recital by Marian Anderson. She has sung as the first three selections, America, and the aria O Mio Fernando from La Favorita by Donizetti, and then Schubert's Ave Maria. Again, Miss Anderson goes to the concert stage to acknowledge the applause of this tremendous audience. During this intermission, it may be possible for us to bring you a word picture of this magnificent setting. The concert is being held here on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Just at the first setback of steps is built a small concert stage, just large enough to accommodate a large concert grand piano and our distinguished soloist, Miss Marian Anderson. Flanking the stage and in front are several rows of seats occupied by the sponsors of the concert and other distinguished guests. Among the sponsors and among the distinguished guests, we see the Secretary of the Interior, the Honorable Harold Ickes, who introduced Miss Anderson, and we see Secretary of the Treasury Morgenthau, Senator Robert Wagner, Senator Joseph Guffey, Senator Arthur Capert sitting on the far side of the concert stage with Senator Clark of Missouri and Senator Capert there with him. In just a few moments, we hope to have an official estimate of this crowd for you, but a picture of this memorial. The memorial rises against a brilliant blue sky that is now just softening slightly by the approaching dusk. Seems a very light mist is coming up from the historic Potomac to the rear and around to our right here. The scene from the steps, here where we are standing, is perhaps the most breathtaking in all of the nation's capital. The steps go down from the memorial to the reflection pool, and we can see mirrored in its surface the entire height of the Washington Monument that stands at the other end of the pool about 1/2 mile from us. And far in the distance, we see a portion of the majestic dome of the Capitol building. We see only a portion of it because it's on a perfect line with the Washington Monument, and the monument blots out all but that part of the dome. The wings of the Capitol building housing the Senate and the House of Representatives are quite distinguishable from our very high point of vantage here. The Capitol is separated from the memorial by the 1/2 mile to the Washington Monument, and then by the long sweep of the Mall, the Central Parkway that runs from the base of the Washington Monument to the Capitol building. And then to our left looms large the famed Federal Triangle, that section bound by Constitution Avenue on the Mall and famed Pennsylvania Avenue, which contains many of the government buildings. Just to the right is the tidal basin, around which just last week the cherry blossoms were in full bloom. But now a word concerning Miss Marian Anderson. Marian Anderson's rise to worldwide fame is quite typically an American success story. Born of humble parents in Philadelphia's Negro Quarter, she lived as a child in a single rented room with her two sisters and her parents. Signs of an unusual voice were evident at the very early age of 6 when she sang in the choir of the Union Baptist Church. At the age of 8, she was called the Beta Contralto and won her first fee, 50 cents, at that time. Up until the age of 16, her musical education was more or less catch-as-catch-can, but later persons in the South Philadelphia High School, which she was attending, were impressed with the unusual range of her voice. People in the neighborhood put together nickels and dimes to contribute toward music lessons. The fund was raised so that she might take lessons from the well-known voice teacher, Giuseppe Boghetti. Under his tutelage, Miss Anderson entered a contest held by the New York Philharmonic Society, the winner of which would have the opportunity of singing at the Lewisohn Stadium in New York. Needless to say, Miss Anderson won. After her New York victory, she received a Julius Rosenwald scholarship, which obtained for her necessary training abroad. In 1933, she made a short tour with moderate success through England, France, Belgium, Holland, the Soviet Union, and the Scandinavian countries. It was not until 1935, however, when worldwide recognition came to her. She was invited to sing at the Salzburg Festival, a most dazzling opportunity. Arturo Toscanini was present, and after she sang, he rushed up to her and said, "A voice like yours is heard only once in 100 years. Her tours in America, and she is now in her fourth, have been among the most successful in concert history. She has been awarded the Springer in Medal. She has received a Doctor of Letters from Howard University, and she has sung at the White House for President and Mrs. Roosevelt. She has triumphed in tours in South America and throughout Europe. We have an official announcement of the attendance. The United States Park Police officially estimate the attendance at over 75,000. And now Miss Marian Anderson has gone back to the concert platform for the second half of her program, which will consist of three spirituals, Gospel Train, Trampin', and My Soul is Anchored in the Lord.
Children, get on. soup and bowl of steam and breakfast plain in every nerve. And get on board, little children, get on board, little children, get on board, little children. There's a room for many on board. The fare is cheap and all can go, the rich and poor there. No second class aboard this train. No difference in the fare, and get on board, little children, get on board, little children, get on board, little children. There's room for many on
you a song recital by Marian Anderson, presented under the auspices of Howard University from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in the nation's capital. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
We've been listening to Marian Anderson, the great contralto, from the Let Freedom Ring concert, a live concert recorded on April 9th, 1939, Easter Sunday at the Lincoln Memorial. Mary Day, let's continue our conversation about Marian Anderson. What are your thoughts about her? I think you call it musical intelligence.
I do. I talk about musical intelligence as being what a singer can do with the language because they understand the language as the native person to that language would understand, as the German would understand a German word, or the French a French word. And Marion studied. She did her homework, and she knew what the languages really meant and the nuances of those languages in the to the native person. And she turns the phrases in such a way that that is evident. And it's evident not only that she understands it, but it's evident that that's how the native person would understand it. And that's been that's always been one of the ways that I choose a singer that I would ask my students to listen to, because those people did their homework. And they're not just singing words, they're singing meaning of the words as well. And Marion was very good about that.
Because it is about interpretation, and singers can sing a song and do it very well, but to own it and mm-hmm. to sing from the soul and the heart, and that's something that right. Marian Anderson did very well.
And to sing it from not their own personal sense, but the sense of the people who understood what those words meant.
We're going to talk next about the second concert that Marian Anderson performed in. The first was under the auspices of Sioux City Concert Chorus, but she returned to perform, and I think it was at the Municipal Auditorium with the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. That was the venue.
Yes, I believe that's true. It was with the Sioux City Symphony, and it was on April 4th, 1954. The concert program is available. It's archived at the museum, and there's a number of arias and oratorial recital pieces there, and then some other pieces that were perhaps only done with piano. I'm not sure, but it looks like a combination of type of repertoire, and this particular concert really interests me. Because when I first came to Briarcliff, one of the things that I heard sisters say is that Marian Anderson stayed at Briarcliff at the time of this concert. And so in doing some research, I found out that that was absolutely true. There are a couple of sisters still alive who were working at Briarcliff at that time, and they told me, yes, it was. The home ec department at that time had a whole area that students would have to go stay in and budget and learn how to run a household and do that kind of thing as part of a home ec major. And so they were asked to house Marian Anderson up at the university college at that time. And of course they said yes to do that. And that's where they housed her. And then in the Briarcliff archives, I found a photograph of Marian Anderson and a young woman by the name of Evelyn Jones from Chicago that was a black student at Briarcliff, the president of the college at that time, Sister Jean Marie Cann, who was a Yale graduate in drama, which I think is really interesting to put a president in as a drama teacher, or a drama teacher in as a president. I think that's, yes. And then two faculty members in the music department, Sister DeCascia, who was an excellent keyboard instructor, and Sister Aiden, who was the voice teacher at that time at Briarcliff. So there's this interesting photograph, and they had arranged for Marian Anderson to listen and have an audition with this young student.
Oh, how thrilling.
And Briarcliff was, at that time, was probably the only college in the area that was offering full scholarships to people of color.
And do we know why Marian Anderson did not stay at a Sioux City hotel?
I don't think we really know, and of course you're not going to really find this in the papers. What I've been told by some people in the community still today, like George Boykin and stuff, is that she could have stayed in a hotel, but she might have had to go in a back door, or there wouldn't be a rest, or she wasn't allowed into the restaurant, or some things, and they just so that there was no embarrassment, she was asked to stay at the college.
That's fascinating. What other information do you have about this particular concert? You have the program.
I have the program, and I have this fact that I've, you know, the fact that she stayed at Briarcliff, but I don't really know anything more than that, except that I know it happened, and that this was the second time that she was here in Sioux City.
Well, I think maybe we'll listen to a little more music now, featuring Marian Anderson. And this is the Brahms Alto Rhapsody.
Thank you.
I think Marian Anderson is also to be remembered at a time in history when she helped propel the civil rights movement into action in our country. And maybe it was just luck that she was one of the people here and that she did the right kind of things to come home and have a career after she was well-established over in Europe. But she did that, and she paved the way then for many Black artists or African-American artists to sing at the Met, to be accepted worldwide, and all throughout the United States.
Mary Day, I want to thank you for your time today and for, I know you did extensive research at the museum on the life and music of Marian Anderson, and it's always such a pleasure to visit with you, and thank you so much for sharing your insights and your thoughts and all of the fascinating things that you shared with us today about Marian Anderson.
Thanks, Gretchen. It's a pleasure to kind of bring Sioux City history to light.
We've been speaking with Mary Day, formerly of Briarcliff University, a community volunteer and a friend of Siouxland Public Media. And I'm Gretchen Gondek, your host for Opus. Thank you for tuning in to Siouxland Public Media.